Between the Barrels, where every rider has a story. Hey everyone, I'm your host Madeline Green, and this is Between the Barrels. I hope you're all having an amazing week, and I am so glad to be back with another interview. I've known Brian Wheeler since he was a kid, and I wasn't too much older, but he jumped on the scene as an amazing youth rider and was always so exciting and fun to watch. Now he's all grown up and making a great career in training and riding futurity horses, so check out his story. Hey, Brian, how are you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good.
Good. Tell us a little bit about your barrel racing story. I've known you since you were a kid, but I don't think I know exactly how you got into the sport. So tell us your story.
I guess I pretty much got into it because that's what my mom did. And she always had some pretty good horses laying around. And so that was always a good thing. I had a black mare named Precious that I actually grew up riding, and I would ride it all day, every day around the farm, and it was super slow on the barrels. I mean, it took care of me, but we loped. And I remember coming home from preschool one day and going to her stall to get her out. She wasn't there.
Oh, no.
My mom had sold her because she wanted me to move up, and I would not get off that horse. And I was probably 8 or 9, I guess, and so she had a good is a Palomino mare named Essex Frenchman's Mocha. And I started riding her a little bit. I think 2007, she took me to the youth world. Like, it was the first time I'd ever went to a 3-day show or something like that.
Wow.
And she had to, like, buy a cowboy hat that was presentable to wear in public. Because mine were always, you know, laid around, stomped on. That year, I'd won the first go and the second go. And that was kind of like a shock. You know, nobody's really expecting that at the time.
Right.
So that's kind of how I got started away.
When you started riding this other horse, had you been doing well on it?
Probably been to like 2 or 3 jackpots. You know, not a whole lot because I wasn't that interested in it. Like, I really enjoyed riding, and like, I had some cousins and we would play hide and go seek on horses. Like, I rode all the time, but wasn't ever serious about the barrels.
Like you said, you grew up going to youth shows. At that time, once you kind of did good and you got that feel of winning, did you see yourself making a career out of it like you have?
Probably, because I enjoyed the thrill of winning so much is what I'd have to say. Like, I was hooked from the first time. I'm like, I knew this is what I want to do, and I was going to figure out how I could do it, you know, and be competitive.
Right. At what point did you feel like, you know, I'm actually pretty good at this, and I think I might could, you know, make a living out of it?
I'll say probably 2015, 16, maybe. I'm trying to think back. I didn't know if I could make a living at it, but I wanted to do everything I could so I could ride a bunch. So I remember being 16, 17 years old. I started learning how to shoe.
Right.
Because I figured I could go shoe horses in the mornings, and I could come back and get 5-6 head rode, and I could take off whenever I needed to and go to a show. So that kind of like made me become a farrier so I could get to ride. And now more and more, I've just started riding more and more, and it's worked out so far.
Going back to like those youth shows, and you've won the youth and stuff like that, did you feel like that kind of shaped the rest of your career or helped you in any way?
I think it did, because I was lucky enough to get to ride some really good horses in my youth years, and it helped you learn how to win and kind of feel how a horse is supposed to be. And then you get put in those situations of the finals night, you know, it's a big deal, and you get put in them from the time you're 12 to 16 years old every year over and over, and it just kind of, you get comfortable in those situations.
Right.
And that's kind of what I like. I like the pressure of stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely a good way to put it. I never thought about it like that. At such a young age, we were, you know, those finals felt like life or death.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember being at Jackson and they turn the lights off and bring you in there and you're like, holy smokes, you know.
I'm a star.
Deal. Yeah.
So kind of a fun question. If you didn't, you know, have this career in barrel racing, what do you think you'd be doing?
I have no idea, really. I mean, this is kind of all I've ever known or been around. So I would love to, like, if I could redo life and go another path and see what it's like, maybe, because I just don't know of a, you know, how to live without a horse.
Right. That's not a bad thing. No. Tell us a little bit about your training program. Kind of take us through your process a little bit from beginning to end.
I really, like most of the stuff I ride, we either raise them or they're two-year-olds when I get them. And I start loping around, start breaking them, getting their face like I want them. And I start loping the barrels. I have the barrel pattern set up, and I'll go all of them to the left, all of them to the right, and I kind of teach them where to place their feet without ever teaching them the actual barrel pattern. So then, you know, when I feel like they're comfortable and they go through the motions, put their feet in the right spot, I'll turn around and start going through the barrels, and it's usually pretty easy for them because they've already figured out how to turn that barrel and where to place their feet, if that makes sense. Because I'm big into where their feet are, and like, I think Blaze gets tired sometimes, and I'll call her. I'm like, hey, come video this colt. I need to see it. Because I want to see where it's doing, what it's doing from outside point of view.
Right.
I want to see its feet and how its body and head, just everything's working together. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm kind of particular about that.
Yeah. So since you do raise them or they're really young, how do you pick, you know, what bits you're going to use?
Well, it's kind of funny. I have, everybody that's been to my house and rode with me knows that I have this one O-ring, and it's a smooth mouth O-ring, and it's about worn in two. I've rode so much in it, but I've pretty much trained every horse I've ever trained in this O-ring to the point, like, they're cruising barrels, and I'm fixing to take them off the place and put something, you know, I'm fixing to go try to clock them is usually when I start changing headgear, and I don't know. I usually go from the O-ring to a small five bit or a small little shank, and I just go from there. But I think I've got them far enough along that I kind of know what I think they're going to like.
Right.
Makes sense, off their style.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you feel like the O-ring works with all of them until they're ready to maybe pick up some speed.
Yeah. Because I feel like if you, with the O-ring, I'll put some draw reins on, and I'll have full control of their face, and I can control their feet. And I can place them and do what I want to over and over and over, and they get used to me handling them and put them in that spot. And after I see how they react in the spot around the barrel, and on the headgear I'm going to go with. You know, if I'm going to go with a nose band or something's got a little gag because they need to be tucked up a little bit, it's a good starting point to me, I feel like, and I've kind of figured out how to work with it.
Is there anything that you do, like, specifically from that point to work on improving speed, control, different things like that?
I mean, not necessarily. Most of the time I try to, you know, I trot, lope, cruise through, and I get them very comfortable at a soft cruise through. Like, I probably cruise through the barrels more than I actually lope the barrels, because I don't really just love the feel of a lope around the barrels, if
right.
That makes sense. Because it always feels like they're trying, or their feet's in a little bit of the wrong spot. So I want to go a little bit faster, and it seems to smooth out and be nice. And I try to just stay at that speed till they're comfortable to go any faster. And then there's some days I'll work the rein and I'm like, this is the day. We're gonna go a little bit, see what happens.
Have you ever rode a horse that you felt like didn't have the speed that it needed?
Oh, yeah. I've had several of those. Several. And I'm pretty particular. Like, I don't want to go up down the road and have a whole trailer load of horses, because I don't feel like the whole trailer load can win. So I'm going to weed through and find the ones that I think can be, you know, good enough to get checks in the top five or six holes, or be good enough to place. You know, it's got to show me something that's got that talent and speed to be there.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But there's a lot I'll ride, and I'll end up sending home, and people, they'll ride them and jackpot them and horse show them and be happy and tickled, and you know, it'll be a good horse at the end of it.
Let's talk about the qualities of horses that you get. Is there anything that you specifically look for, like, in the younger horses?
I'll pretty much try anything the way they're built, because I've seen horses that wasn't built to run the barrels, and they ran the barrels very well. I have a No Pressure on Me from last year. Its name's Feeling the Pressure, and I actually was reserve champion in the juvenile on him. And if you looked at him, he was really tall, thin, a little bit over at the knees. Like, he was kind of ugly duckling, but, like, his feet work and his body, like, he just done it the right way when you ask him to go fast.
Right.
Like, that horse that I feel like most people would have just passed on, but I had to try him because I'm like, I really think this thing might be okay.
And it turned out pretty good.
It turned out good.
So this is kind of a question about you and Blaze. You guys have been together for a while, and I feel like, you know, sometimes when it comes to competing in the same sport, it can be difficult, but you guys seem to have it kind of figured out. How do you help each other without having issues?
It's more like she rides her horses, and they're all older. They're open horses. That's all she wants to ride. She doesn't want anything to do with a colt.
Okay.
And that works out perfect.
Yeah.
That gives me the colts. And really, when hers, she knows what she likes, and she has it figured out. I don't really do much helping with her. I might suggest something here or there, but she has it figured out. And then in my aspect of it, she doesn't really tell me what to do either. She might, you know, suggest a bit or a bonnet or say, hey, you know, back off of that one a little bit this week.
Right.
You know, it's not quite ready to go that fast. But we try to keep everything separate so we don't ever, you know, cross one another or make one another, you know, irritated with the other. Because that's very hard to do. Same sport, same household. And I think it would be a struggle with us if we, you know, if we rode the same horses and we swapped back and forth and done stuff like that. But we don't. What's kind of hers is hers. And like, I've had a couple of horses that I'll let her jump on and run at the jackpots or the big open shows, and she'll do well on them. And I don't ever tell her what to do. I'll tell her how to warm it up. Kick and pull is what I tell her right before she runs.
I like that. What do you believe sets apart the best of the best when it comes to barrel racing jockeys?
I'm going to have to say reaction and timing. I mean, you got to have good timing. And I think that's where it separates, you know, being elite and being just running the barrels as a person. I think it's all in the timing and reaction. It's all barrel racing is. You can train and do everything you want to. When you go down the alleyway, it's just a reaction.
I had this question later on, but since you're talking about reaction, I always see you be able to, like, do the leg lifts and reach up and pick up a barrel. Do you practice this? Because I don't even think I can lift my leg.
No, I'm actually, I think riding Peaches when I was a kid taught me that, because she turned so tight.
Right.
And she caught a lot of barrels. And my mom would always say, I don't care what you have to do. If you have to fall off, you get around the barrels. And she ran the barrels whether I was up there or not. So it was just, I just done it at a young age that way. And I still got it. I'm just bigger now.
Right, right. So talking about your mare Peaches, obviously she was one of the most, like, fastest and exciting mares, kind of like my mare Sissy was.
Yeah.
And she's been producing, you know, winners year after year. What is that like for you, and how gratifying is that?
It's pretty awesome. And so I was trying to think back what year she actually got hurt. I think she got hurt when I was 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had a couple years left of the youth show. So it really sucked at the time. But now that I look back on it, it's probably the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Because when she got hurt, we started pulling babies off of her. And my mom was like, here they are. Train them. Figure it out. You know, if you want to go win again, you got to make it. And that was what was great about my mom, is she actually let me do it all.
Right.
And so she let me make a good horse or ruin a horse, one or the other. Like, she knew that you had to do all that to be able to know how to make a good horse.
Wow.
So it really, I think that's pretty much what shaped me, as mom and that mare, you know, giving me the babies that had the talent to do it. And I just had to figure out how to put the pieces together and train them.
Do you feel different about the horses that she's produced compared to others? I know I am kind of obsessed with my Sissy babies, but yeah. Do you feel that weird bond?
I do. I was thinking about that, you know, kind of like Mike and his Sissy babies. And you pull up there, Mike's got them all shined up and looking good. And I'm kind of the same way with the Peaches babies. I always try to have them looking the best I can.
Right.
I got really particular about what happens to them all the time.
When it comes to competition and making those runs at the big futurities with, you know, a lot of money up for grabs, do you ever get nervous, or are you always, like, pretty laid back?
I'm pretty laid back. I think that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, I always feel like the world could be in and over here to the right, and I would still be just okay over here on the left. I'd just be walking around, you know. I don't know.
Is there anything you tell yourself before them, or you're just, that's just kind of how your personality is?
I try, like, when it's a high-pressure situation or something at a security run, Troy Cronin told me this one time, and I always think about it. He said, ride the horse step for step. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I try to do every time, is just remember, ride my horse step for step, and the rest is just going to happen. There's nothing you're going to change, nothing you can do about it. If you ride step for step, it is what it is. So I just don't think there's any reason to get that nervous about it or worked up over it.
When you're dealing with, you know, younger horses in this situation, how do you handle, you know, if you had a horse that you felt had a lot of potential going into the futurity season and just something happens and it kind of falls apart? How do you handle that?
You get used to it, I really think, because it happens all the time. I mean, you're never going to just have one every year that just goes up there and shines. So I think you have to be realistic about it. If it backs off and isn't ready, you know, stay home. Jackpot it, train on it a little bit, and take it back out when it's ready.
Do you have any advice for someone who just really can't get out of a slump?
I think if you're in a slump, you kind of, some days you have to just ride it out till it changes. But if I get into a slump, I'm going to change something. I'm changing headgear. I'm changing the way I'm working it. Like, I don't want to just keep doing the same thing, hoping to get a different result.
Right.
So I'm going to change something. You can't ever be afraid to change.
Right. What advice would you have for someone who is wanting to maybe break into the futurity world? It seems like a hard thing to break into.
it's a very hard thing because it costs a lot of money to go up and down the road and do stuff. And I really think, you know, you're going to have to love it. You're going to have to struggle for a while because it's not easy. And you got to put in your dues. I mean, you've got to lose a while before you can win.
You feel like just, you know, keep going and
eventually it'll pay off. If you put in the time, the effort, and the hard work, it'll come around. It'll be your turn one day.
And so, you know, you are still younger and there's tons of people to look up to. So who are those people for you? Who are the people who have influenced you over the years, and who do you kind of go to for advice?
That's a hard one because there's a lot of them.
Right.
I mean, really, there's a lot of them. You know, when I was at kid, Talmadge lived right up the road, your uncle, and so, like, even he come over and rode yesterday. He was at the arena.
Huh.
And we just talked and hung out for a little while. And Brett Monroe, probably. I used to go to his house some and stay and ride because I love Brett's way. I thought when Brett had a horse that fit him, it was the coolest way, in my opinion, just the way they looked.
Yeah.
And I've always liked those, and I've got to hang around, like, Chris Coffey a good bit, and Cody Bowserman. I pretty much, Cody's way, I've watched him exhibition a bunch, and he probably doesn't even know this, but like, I'll watch him a bunch. I've used a lot of his head gear that he likes to use and the way he warms one up, and I've done that a lot, and he probably doesn't even know it. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's helped me a lot, doesn't even know he's helped me a lot.
Yeah, there are just so many good ones that you can learn so much from.
You learn by just watching. I mean, you really do. And just being around people and good horsemen. I mean, I talk to Jason Willis on the phone all the time. And just little stuff that he'll say here or there, you know, if you listen to it, it'll help you out.
Right. That's awesome. Kind of back to horses. You've had so many horses over the years that have done amazing. But which ones kind of stand out among the rest? And just tell us a little bit of y'all's story together.
I don't know. That it's hard because I've got to ride so many good ones, in my opinion, and being so young. So I feel like a lot of them, I'm hoping I still have quite a few to ride. But riding Peaches, definitely, when I was a kid, everybody kind of knows that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to jump ride Jetto Red for a minute. I got to ride her at a couple horse shows and ride her at Youth World one year. And that horse, probably one of the most talented horses I've ever been on.
Wow.
And I've got to ride, like, Running for a Title. I've rode him at Brett Train at Blazons. And the SBW Heavenly Peach. She was the first one out of Peaches that won a futurity. And she actually ended up winning 3 futurities with her. And she won right at, like, 90,000 her futurity year. And I let Blaze ride her for a minute. She got her over 100. My plan is for her is to pull babies and hopefully ride the next 5, 6, 7 years out of her. And probably one of the horses that I remember the most and enjoyed was a horse named Fames to Blame.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually trained her. She was probably my first real futurity colt. I think it was 2014 or 15. And she started off good, had a little struggle. I ended up getting like third or fourth in the slot race consolation at Kinder on her. And I got third at Fort Smith with her. And like Fort Smith is what I've wanted to win since I was a little bitty. And that's what I always think about.
Right.
And so that always comes to mind. And then I had a horse named Feeling Heavenly. And it was for Kim Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually the first person that ever sent me an outside horse. And we've had some good luck together. But that horse, Feeling Heavenly, and they called her Tilly. I'd rode her, and she placed like third in the slot at Kinder. I think second or third in the futurity there. And then I won the time trials at Fort Smith. And I'm like, this is it. I got it this year. I got a good shot. A done run. I think I run 16-4. I come back and I hit barrels in the finals.
Dang.
I just hated that for that horse. I'm like, that was such a good horse. An opportunity was there and I missed it. I'm not saying she could have won it, but I felt like she should have placed good.
Right.
Probably next one was the Streaking Moon Flash that won the Oklahoma City Rookie Juvenile Fraternity. That horse was so cool. And I had her as a three-year-old and had her legged up ready. She was clocking good, and Kim owned her, and she wanted to hold her over. And I was kind of against it a little bit. I was like, let's run this thing. It's clocking. Let's go. She's like, no, I want to hold her over. So I was like, okay. So I held her over, and that was her. Right before there, I took her to a jackpot. She won the jackpot. There's like 200 head, and it was a pretty good show. So I'm like, I got a good shot next week, I feel like. If I go get around the barrels twice, I get a good average check. And she pulled it out and won it for me. And that was the first big fraternity that I'd won, you know, in Oklahoma, you know, across the Mississippi River.
Right.
So I always feel like when you go over there, it's different. It's tougher. It's just the way it is. The Designer Leap to Heaven that I have this year. And I don't know how it's going to end up because it's only, you know, March. I've run her like 12 times, but she won the juvenile. She won the round at the juvenile. She won the sire's slot. So as to date right now, she's won 105,000 early. And like, to me, that horse right now has passed the other ones up in my eyes just because she won the juvenile. And that's what I've wanted to win since I was, you know, 11, 12 years old. So I would say as of right now, that one, but you don't really know how good she's going to be because it's still early.
Yeah. But still, that's quite a bit won already.
Yeah.
Kind of tell us what you feel like your greatest accomplishment of 2023 was.
Definitely winning the juvenile. That's pretty much, when I think back, like winning the juvenile, that's my main thing that probably of my life so far that I've won. Like, because if you think about it, everybody's won that you look up to that are greats. They've won BFA titles.
Right.
Or they've won Fort Smith. And like, that's what I'm after, in my opinion, is those two things. Like, I want to win Fort Smith so bad, and I want to win the BFA. Like, that's what I'm after.
Right. And so my next question would have been, you know, what has been the biggest win of your whole career? So would you say that one?
I would say that one.
What big shows are next on y'all's list?
The Ruby Buffalo is what we're going to next. I'm kind of starting to prep and get everything ready for that because it's a standard pattern. So, you know, we're really used to running in little pens, kind of like y'all are.
Right.
So, trying to get ready to go out there, that big pattern, come home from there, and then just keep going, I reckon.
How do you get yours ready for those standard patterns?
Really, I have a outdoor arena here, and I set it up really big, and I just start loping across there to it, you know, to the barrels, and I make them go further past them. And like, I'm gonna go to arena this weekend that's pretty good size, so it's probably the bigger arena we have, and just gonna work on it and hope or get comfortable with it, I guess. I mean, I still hadn't mastered it yet. I'm still trying.
Lastly, to wrap it up, what do you still hope to achieve in the sport? And then what impact do you kind of hope to have on it?
I hope when they look back on my career and stuff, they look at all the good horses that come out of my program. And they're like, you know, I'd love to have gotten one from him, you know, just because they were cool. I hope people think that about my riding style and the horses that I've created. Because that's why I love barrel racing, is because I take a horse that doesn't know anything and I make it into something.
Well, that is all for Between the Barrels this week. You can always stay up to date with everything going on by following us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Or if you have someone that you'd like to hear on the show or a question that you would like answered, don't hesitate to shoot me an email at betweenthebarrels@gmail.com. I'm your host, Madeline Green. Tune in next week.